There's so many different ways to determine market value. Most people use comps, closed sales, the very first thing they take a look at. I'd call one of the best trailing indicators at determining market value is looking at the performance of failed properties in the area near the subject property, similar price range, similar style, and they failed recently. You look at all these brands with all these different offices and things like that, and some of these companies are only selling 50 to 60% of their listings. Is it because they're not marketing geniuses? No, that's not it. It's generally because they haven't priced the property according to its features and the market conditions. So one of the best ways to determine market value is actually studying the failed listings. You take any of these franchises or their companies, and they show you the list of their successes, their solds, but of course you're not going to show you the faileds. What happens when a listing is on the market for 187 days or 290 days, and it was, let's say, a mile from you, or in the subdivision, 12 houses away, and that property, let's say, had 300 square foot more than your home. It had a three car and you have a two car, whatever. It had features that you don't. It had a screened-in porch, you don't. You have an in-ground pool, they don't. And there's an exchange here of features. The question is, why would that national brokerage have a property for 200 days and it not sell? And it's in relatively good condition. The home's only 3 years old or something like that. Has all the aftermarket improvements, the landscaping, the window treatments, the alarm system, a sprinkler system. The seller's pumped it full of money. We have a property right now that we're doing analysis on where the seller paid $854,000, $55,000 2 years ago for this property. They went ahead and put another $50,000 in aftermarket improvements in. They're on the market with a national brand for $825,000, which means it was below what they paid plus the capital improvements. The house is in the market for about 150 days, and they still couldn't sell the property. And this is a national brand, one of the top producing agents in the whole state. So why didn't the property sell? So the very first thing that we started to share with the seller is let's study other failed properties to see what the difference was. I really think it's like if you want to buy a Starbucks, if there's a franchise you could do, or a McDonald's franchise, because not every McDonald's succeeds, not every Breadco or every whatever the case. So if you could, when they roll out just the successes, you don't learn as much as you could study the failed businesses. What they do wrong in that business. So oftentimes we look at three things: price, profile, and pictures. Why did that property not sell in a relatively good market that's only 3 years old? When you look at the failed properties, you try to find out, all right, what features did they have that the marketplace at that price point didn't appreciate? And was it not a popular feature? Did they not finish something in the property? Did they do things that were kind of quirky to the property? So my encouragement to you, no matter who you're interviewing, what analyst, what realtor, what company, is to look at the failed properties, the features that they had, in addition, versus what you have. In addition, I want you to look at what's called the success rate in an area. There are some quadrants in your price point where over 70% of the listings succeed. That's a good number, 70, 82%. There's never 90, rarely 95%, almost never 100% of listings. So we think a strong corridor of 70% succeeded, 30% failed. That's one of the indicators to say that you're looking at least a 2% gain per year, and you might think it's already 4 or 5% gain. Oftentimes be pretty surprised to see that the appreciation rate is much more conservative than people think it is, no matter what Zillow says. So when you look at the success rate, if there's 70% success, 30% failure. That's probably one of the indicators, 2% growth rate. However, we have seen plenty of areas in these different states across the United States that it's only 52, 55% of listings succeed. That means every other listing fails. And you're thinking, well, that won't be you. Well, there's a lot of very nice properties where the agent misguided the seller, or there wasn't enough information. They weren't looking at the right data and the house didn't sell. Every other one. There are plenty of quadrants where only 30% of the properties sell. When we're looking at that, you're probably experiencing depreciation. If 7 out of 10 properties come on the market with all these quote-unquote great brands, and those properties don't sell, 7 out of 10 of them don't sell, is it even possible to see appreciation? It's probably a bloodbath on pricing. Houses are probably well over 100 days on the market, and the failure rate is, when you're looking at 70%, 60% failure rate, you're probably really out of whack, so to speak. And it may not be time to sell the asset. You know, oftentimes people will say, what's the best time of year to sell? It must be springtime. Not necessarily. I'm going to share with you the best time of year generally to sell a property is when the supply and the demand are in your favor. And I'll cover that in another audio. But we're going to wrap this one up and say the things we're looking for in the failed properties, because there's four categories: actives, under contracts, solds, and fails. So as we study these failed properties, what we're looking for is what's the percentage of failures to successes. We're looking for at least 70% success rate. In addition, we're looking then at those that failed, what features did they have that you didn't have? What price per square foot were they asking? Is it way above everybody else? Are you pricing your property according to the failed price per square foot or the successful ones, the solds? And to look at depends on how long you've owned your property, but what I call the ROI, the return on investment. Are you asking 9.3% growth rate and all the failed properties were at like 7, 8, 9% growth rate? All the successful properties were at 3 or 4 or 5%. None of these ideas are perfect sciences. However, when you pull them all together and you look at all of the indicators I'm going to walk you through here, you can do a pretty good job at coming up with the right price where one of the first 5, 6, 7 people comes through and makes an offer on your property and oftentimes will pay full price if it's happening fast enough. Anyways, this audio is about the failed properties and how valuable they are to understand the marketplace. Again, we shouldn't see too high a percentage of properties failing in a quadrant and look at their features, their ROI, and their price per square foot.